So this is Christ the King Sunday. Now, a lot of churches name it differently because the monarchy doesn't always have a good word in people's heads and minds. So they've renamed it now, in some places, the Reign of Christ Sunday. Now, see, the Church of God gets its life from the life of Christ. So we are, traditionally, the church from its earliest times has arranged its worship around the life of Christ. And so litanies and worship and song and music and scripture choices have long been put together for many, many centuries in many churches, in lectionaries. And we in the Reformed tradition have had that too, but not so much in the Christian Reformed Church over the years. But it's a good source of worship to plan the church year around the events of the life of Christ, like rehearsing Jesus, rehearsing Christ's presence. So the church gets its life from Christ, so we rehearse and we practice Christ-like worship about Jesus Christ. That's where this comes from. So litanies and songs and seasons are all, if done carefully, follow that life of Christ. The trouble with this Sunday is, and its litanies, it really didn't get much traction by way of a formal day and a formal recognition until about 1925, when the Catholic Pope at the time and his church council brought in, how do you close the church year? How does that go? Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, and then Sundays in Pentecost or ordinary time. So this is the last Sunday of ordinary time in the church liturgy, litany, the church year, church calendar. That's why next week you can say Happy New Year, because Advent begins. But we never used to do much with that in a lot of Protestant churches, but we find it deepens our understanding of Christ and how we worship and why we worship. So we've had to find texts that help us shape this last Sunday of the year. There are many. Some people go back to Ascension Day texts, where Jesus rises and then he, I am with you always to the end of the age, and then he leaves and sends his Holy Spirit. Those are appropriate texts for the last Sunday of the year. But I found one from Isaiah 25. And we'll share that together. So find with me, will you, Isaiah 25 on page 1095. Find Isaiah 25. I think you will, with me, uncover some really deep thoughts about this Reign of Christ Sunday in this ancient text. Isaiah 25, the first 9 verses. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It'll never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driven against a wall, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of the foreigner. as heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud. Sorry, I'll try that again. You silence the uproar of the foreigners as heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is stilled. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. That's a text that came to me as I tried to find some textual way of referencing this Christ the King Sunday, this Reign of Christ Sunday, this last Sunday of the year, which is worthy of our attention. So, I mean, the flow of Christ is from prophecy to little baby to man crucified, to man buried, to man risen, to Lord of heaven and earth. And then right to the end here, we have this special Sunday in November, at the end of it. So you join with the Church of All Ages to do something today that excuse my throat, has become liturgical and the Church's litany of the day. And in the passage that I chose, there are mountain kinds of statements. Now, in Isaiah 25, that's a little section that's found in chapters 23 to 27 called the apocalyptic section of Isaiah, where Isaiah speaks from chapter 23 to 27 about the end times that he sees, how he saw them. And so before the chapter 23, he criticizes nations, as he's called to do as a prophet, to lay out before them the sins of people throughout the world. That was his place. And chapters 23 to 27 is called the Isaiah apocalyptic. That is to say, big things are going to happen. And our Christ the King Sunday, our Reign of Christ Sunday, fits right in there. Mountains play a big role in this visual apocalyptic picture that Isaiah brings. On this mountain, it says in verse 6, and on this mountain, it says in verse 7. Now, you know what happens, of course, to Christians who read ancient texts like these beautiful, awesome texts. They become texts of prophecy, because this was Isaiah speaking to an ancient people about their ancient contexts. But great poetry, great words come out. They are almost timeless. But specifically, we have taken to mean this is about our Lord Jesus Christ, who had his own mountaintop experiences. Not the kind that made him glamorous and easily famous. But how about the one that's spoken about in Mark 4 and Matthew 4, where Jesus gets taken by Satan to a mountaintop in Israel. And he's offered the world there. And Satan says, all you have to do is bow the knee to me, and all the kingdoms of the world will be yours. Christ the King Sunday. And Jesus said, no, we live by the word of God. We live. Jesus was tempted by the devil on such a mountain, and it didn't. He didn't give in. In that same story, of course, is that Jesus is also taken to Jerusalem. By the way, the mountain in chapter 25 of Isaiah could refer to Jerusalem, the mountain of Jerusalem. If you look in chapter 24, verse 23, you'll see. In verse 23, where his judgment ends, it says, the moon will be dismayed, the sun ashamed, for the Lord Almighty will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. And so the mountain that's referred to in Isaiah 25 is the mountain of Jerusalem. And Jesus was taken in that temptation to Jerusalem, to the top of the temple, and told, jump off. Just jump off, says the devil. I'll rescue you. And Jesus said, no. You know that story of that temptation. He was committed to the word of God alone. Then there's a later story of Jesus on a mountain with his disciples, what sometimes called the Mount of Transfiguration, where he, you know, Elijah comes and Moses stand with him in this mountain, in his visual at the mountain, and his two apostles, Peter and John, stand there with him. And Jesus is glorified, and the voice from heaven says, this is my son. Listen to him. Jesus is glorified on that mountain. But the final mountain that we might reference today is not so much a mountain as a hill. It's in Jerusalem, just like from this text. It stays in the city of Jerusalem. But it's Mount Golgotha. Not glamorous. Not a kingly. What a mockery. King of the Jews. And he hangs on the cross on Golgotha. From this mountain, says the Lord, I will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best meats and the finest of wines. On this mount, this is how you go home today. On this mountain, verse 7, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, and he'll remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. That is the Christ moment, the kingship of Jesus given to you now on this final Sunday of the year and its meanings. Did you get it? That's who Christ the King is. That's whom we honor as Christ the King in our life. Now, that would be already enthusiasm enough, I would say, for all of us. Enough inspiration. But we're not done with this picture at all. You've got to turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. The final chapter of the New Testament. Final Sunday in the church year, final chapter of the New Testament, where the whole picture of New Jerusalem comes in, as you'll see. We'll read it. So, Revelation 21, shout out a page to somebody. What's the page? 1937? Okay, Revelation 21. We'll read the first five verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be there with them and be their God. Remember Isaiah 25? He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death. Remember, death is swallowed up, Isaiah 25. Or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. See how it's come full circle, right? Isaiah 25 at the end, verse 9. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord, we trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in our salvation. So the pictures of Isaiah that are so deeply fulfilled in Christ in the way Isaiah couldn't have known, but you and I do, are coming also for us as a future promise. In the Christ reign, not just on a Sunday token service, but in our lives. So, what's our response to all of this? You say, well, it's pretty good biblical theology, you know. It's got creation, fall, redemption, consummation. It's good theology. Well, it is. I don't mean to brag, but that's what we share together. It's a good way of looking at scriptures, and we can say that too. It was good this morning at church. We had good scriptures. We had good music. We had good scriptures. You could do that. But that's not, that's nice and that's okay, but that's not good enough. The pinnacle, and this is why I think the church tried to find a way to honor this Sunday especially, is to go deeper. To also make you, as it says both in Revelation 21 verse 5, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Or Isaiah 25, this is the Lord, we trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. You have to have a picture too of God in Christ, who holds you and keeps you, who wipes, will wipe away your tears that you have in your life, who will make you glad and rejoice, who calls for your trust. This is not a thing for just church worship and liturgical years. This is for your hearts and your lives and your words and your thoughts and your actions every day. That's what these scriptures are for. This is not about lovely theology or, you know, fine words said about ancient texts of poetry and visionary texts all fulfilled in Christ. This is about you and me living glad and hopeful lives in a world of struggle and pain. And it doesn't come easy. We have our own tears. We have our own frustrations. We have our own depths of sorrows and sadness. Death, just this week. We have great names for all these things. We have countless ways of naming human troubles and struggles. Our health concerns are deep. Our worry about our world, our worries are colossal. They are beyond us. What we're doing to the environment, what happens among the races, what our cities are like, what the slums are like, what the refugees have to go through, what people have in their health concern when it comes to things like cancer and depression and you name it. Not just for church liturgy. It's not just for church. It's not just for a little place outside of us here, but it's for what Isaiah says. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress. You've been like a breath of fresh air to us. You make a feast for us, God, of the best of everything. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the shrouds that you and I live in too, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He'll remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. So the Lord has spoken to you. Take this deeper, more thoughtful word of his with you in your daily life and walk and talk and thought and actions. Trust him on not just this Sunday, but always, that you are in the reign of Christ, and all will be well. Let us pray. Is it true, Lord? Will all be well? Is it true that the reign of Christ means that we'll be all right? God, you know our hearts, you know our lives, you know our tears, you know our frustrations, you know our inadequacy, you know our lives. Oh, God, you know us completely. You know our struggles, our worries, our fears, our doubts. Will everything be all right? Oh, God, imprint yourself on us today. Inscribe and mark yourself in us today with the words of hope from these texts in Christ Jesus. With the picture of Christ that Isaiah brings us, Lord, that this Jesus has been on those mountains that you describe, and that it is fulfilled now in him in every way. And that we stand with him on mountains, Lord, that we will be on mountains with him that way, that you have blessed your people throughout history with these words. And now you bless us this morning on this final Sunday of the church year with an invitation to trust and to hope and to be thankful and to be in the new year that is coming, beginning with Advent, with the knowledge that in Christ Jesus will be yours forever and everything will be all right. Not easily all right, not always all right, not perfectly, not comfortably all right, but things will be all right, for you are making all things new. We look forward to the day, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.